out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 15th of March 2019 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, I am very pleased to say today we have a special guest, someone who I hope is going to be joining me regularly here on Friday, someone who I used to actually make regular podcasts with a couple of years back, but he's also got his own podcast now on Tuesdays, Church of the Lampshade. Of course, I'm talking about Grandpa Lampshade. Grandpa, how are you doing this fine morning? How is it over there in Texas?
Well, you know, it's interesting, I guess. Yeah, it's great to be on with you, Sven. I was thinking the same thing. It's almost reminiscent of the old radio airing roundtable days, getting to sit down and visit with you again.
Well, yeah, we did have a whole program planned out. We had two news articles that we were going to go through. And of course, the best plans of mice and men can fall to the wayside, which of course they have. We both got up this morning to the shocking news that there's been a price tag attack in New Zealand. A white man has killed 40 Muslims. I believe he's injured 40 more. It may actually be 49 people that he's actually killed. He live streamed this as well. He has a manifesto, a 73-page manifesto. Of course, we completely condemn all violence that's done in the name of nationalism. We condemn this attack. But the reasons that he outlined in his manifesto are genuine fears that all white people have and that no politicians are actually speaking to. And let me just lay this out a little bit before passing it over to you there, Grandpa. We don't actually have any nationalist parties. Where is the nationalist party in New Zealand? Where is the nationalist organization? Where are the voices in the media that are saying we are being replaced? We don't have any voices in the media. They're not saying that. They're saying white genocide is a conspiracy theory. The replacement of white people is a conspiracy theory. London is 60% non-white. 60% of the whites have been replaced in London. That's not a conspiracy theory. That is a fact. And we have nobody that's speaking about that in the establishment, nobody in the mainstream press, nobody in government, no political parties. We are told that we're not even allowed to discuss this online. We fit into a very, very, very narrow width, which is getting narrower and narrower, in which we are able to broadcast Radio Arium. We're not allowed to say these things on Facebook. We're not allowed to say these things on Twitter. We're not allowed to say these things on YouTube. They're trying to stop people from talking about this. And when you are unable to talk about this, when you're unable to talk to members of the public about this, when you have nobody representing you in government, the temptation is, if you are an unbalanced type of personality, they're going to take the law into their own hands and they're going to do things like this. And instead of realizing that, the mainstream media and the establishment are already trying to blame right-wing personalities talking about these things as causing this. And this isn't what radicalized this chat. What radicalized this chat was seeing the Islamic attack in Sweden, which killed the young deaf girl in particular. But all the radical Islamic attacks. I mean, what about the Bataclan? What about the hideous tortures, cutting people's testicles off, feeding them into their mouths to make them eat them? Hideous tortures that went on of young people out at a rock concert. What about the nail bomb that was blown up in Manchester? And after that, we're all told, don't look back in anger. We have to sing this song by Oasis. Don't look back in anger. Don't blame the whole group. This was an individual's activities. And now all we're hearing from the mainstream media about this is how this guy was radicalized by the personalities on the far right. I'm sure they're going to bring up Tommy Robinson at some point. And that wasn't what it was. He was radicalized by what he saw around him and the fact that nobody in the establishment is speaking up for white interests. And that's the cause of it. That's what needs addressing. We need somebody speaking up for us in the establishment to prevent these things happening, I think, Grandpa.
Yeah, and isn't it interesting looking at this? What I noticed on the news this morning was how often and how quick they were to keep repeating, a white man did this, a white man did. You know, whenever it's one of these other, whenever it's a Muslim attack, you know, we see the opposite. Of course, we see, you know, religion of peace and so on and so forth. But yeah, no, you've hit the nail on the head. You get, and I'll say up front, I'm not convinced that this isn't some sort of set up false flag, not to go off into conspiracy land or anything, but we're just going to discuss it as though we're taking things at face value. But yeah, you've hit the nail on the head in the fact that in a lot of ways, the leftists are very complicit in this sort of thing, because exactly when you demand, and we're already seeing more demands of shutdown, more demands of don't allow people to speak about these things, then yes, you wind up with people that feel like, well, when you leave people with feeling as though, well, they don't have a way to even speak about what they view as and is legitimate concerns, then, you know, well, they sit around and go, well, what now? So you wind up, you don't have, you know, these if people feel as though they don't have any representation in the government. And you're not even now, again, you're not even supposed to be allowed to speak about these things. You're not supposed to be allowed to point up things that are legitimate concerns. When you look around and people are being brought into your nations that and you're looking around and it's like, okay, when you have politicians such as here in America, like Joe Biden talking about in this certain year, 2050, I think he said, but I think it's going to be sooner, you know, whites will be a minority in America. And that's a good thing. And that's his words. Well, how are people supposed to take that exactly? You sit there and say, well, white genocide, white replacement is a conspiracy theory. And on the flip side of this, you have people openly saying things like this. And again, then you shut down and don't allow people to air their grievances. Don't allow people to have any sort of way where they feel like, okay, I can address these concerns to my politicians, to the system, to the government, and have my concerns addressed. Instead, they're told they have to shut up. Instead, they're told you're not allowed to speak these things. You're not allowed to point these things out. And you need to go away. If you're over here on social media, you need to be banned. Or if they won't ban you, then the entire social media site should be shut down. You know, you cannot sit there and just keep quashing and quashing and quashing people and not allowing them to speak. That's how you get more radicalization. That's how you get more people that feel like, well, I guess the only answer is to go out and do some sort of crazy shooting or something. Is you shut this down. And in this, the left is very much complacent in these act of violence. And again, we're running on the assumption that this isn't some sort of elaborate false flag, which again, the guys from Australia goes and does a shooting in New Zealand, where I'm assuming these sorts of weapons aren't readily available, to make a statement about Trump and the Second Amendment in the United States. It all seems rather, I don't know. There's several things here. And again, we're not going to go off down that road, I don't think. But there's several things here that I think kind of smell. But again, when you sit here and try to just quash opinions that differ from your own, don't allow people to speak, don't allow people, and don't allow people to even feel like they can air their legitimate concerns in public, much less have them addressed by their own governments.
Well, that's going to be the end result of this, isn't it? There's going to be another clampdown on free speech. They will be blaming people for radicalizing this young man. But you bring up the social media there and the clampdowns on social media. Now, the last time there was an attack like this at the Pittsburgh synagogue, there was a big clampdown on Gab. And they said, well, because this guy was using Gab, because he had retweeted people on Gab must be shut down. I haven't heard any calls for Facebook to be shut down. And this guy would live streamed his attack on Facebook. It was watched all around the world by thousands of people. Since then, it's been put on YouTube. Thousands of people have been watching it on YouTube. There's been no calls for YouTube or Facebook to be shut down. And yet there were all these calls for Gab to be shut down after this Pittsburgh attack. You're saying there that the left are complicit in this. Why aren't they calling for that? Nobody is calling for that. And the reason why is because they know that Gab was a free speech platform. These other platforms that he's used isn't a free speech platform. I mean, it's things like that that say to me that this probably isn't a false flag. He seems to have been pretty clever. I mean, he's clever in thinking about how this is going to be perceived and trying to sort of second guess the police in quite a few ways, actually. I'm not going to go into all of them here. There was a talk about how it was Candace Owens that radicalized him. And I think that why he's saying something like that is so that, they tried to shut down Candace Owens, which is going to be pretty ridiculous because she's black. She's a black conservative. Things like that that he's put in there seems to say to me that it's not a false flag. The attention to detail, all his weapons that he had, apparently he had painted on them all the names of people that have fought against the Ottomans, fought in the Crusades, all of this sort of thing. He named a lot of these people and said that the reason why he was doing this is for all the thousands of people that have been killed by Muslims over the years. And, thousands of white people have been killed by Muslims over the years. But this isn't the way to go about redressing that. We need to have a movement, a unified movement that gets people into power that is going to deport these people. I mean, eventually it has to happen if we are going to avoid war on the streets. And people like him they're trying to bring war to the streets now. And people like us, we're the ones that are trying to prevent this war from happening. If only the government would realize that. Perhaps they do. Perhaps that's why Radio Erin is still up and going, because they know that we are trying to deter people from this kind of actions. I know you yourself have done much to try and deter people from this course of action, and the mainstream media still came after you, Grandpa.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you were talking about Gab. The synagogue shooter, I think, reposted one thing that I put on there amongst probably countless other posts on Gab that are reposted. And they tried to twist that into somehow. So the fact that he liked or reposted one of my posts equaled I was somehow had something to do with it, which was, of course, utter nonsense. And just kind of staying in the vein of this, of what we opened with about not allowing people to feel as though they can publicly address their concerns. I was thinking about this before we aired this morning. And, a classic example of this is Charlottesville. You had people on the right who did everything legal. They got all their permits. They followed the letter of the law to the T. And had nobody showed up and bothered them, nobody would even remember today that it happened. But instead, leftists were allowed, Marxist leftists were allowed to come in without any permits. They were allowed to come in and attack these people who were following the law and publicly protesting, which we're supposed to have the right to do in this country. They were attacked. There are guys now sitting in jail from the right for defending themselves. Now, you sit here and you have this sort of thing happen to where, again, people follow the law. They do what they're supposed to. Had they been left alone and allowed to exercise their constitutional rights, we wouldn't even remember it happened today. But we still remember it happened. And what happened afterwards, after these Marxists showed up without any permits, without following the law, and attacked these people, they came out and demanded that the people who had followed the law, that had done everything like they were supposed to do, to publicly protest, publicly air their grievances, be blamed for all of the violence. The violence largely initiated by the leftists. And this is a perfect example of this, that you're not allowing, when you don't allow people to do things such as publicly protest or air their grievances in public, much less have any sort of person in political power speak to their concerns, you're going to get people out there that start feeling as though this sort of thing is their only option. And everybody acts shocked at this. Everybody acts like, oh my gosh, oh, but you start giving people that idea that this is the only option they have. And of course, we know the outcome of this isn't going to be people stepping back and go, well, maybe, you know, maybe we should back off on this and allow people to publicly. Now, we all know they're going to double down on the shutdown. They're going to double down on demanding that people who don't agree with the multiculturalist agenda be shut down. We're going to be a double down on demanding that people not be allowed to speak their grievances, to speak that is to their own concerns as to these very real issues that are happening in these countries. And again, historically speaking, this stuff it's not like we're in uncharted territory. Whenever you bring in a lot of different cultures and a lot of different races and you have this close proximity and you bring them into other people's countries, you're going to have conflict. And it doesn't matter even the race. You could, in that, if you took a large amount of white people and settled them in Egypt, just to pick a country at random, there's going to be a huge amount of conflict. That's the way it works. And we're seeing it playing out. We're seeing these conflicts happen. And yet we're told that, no, the reason the conflict is happening is because people are pointing it out, because people are pointing out the reality of it. And so the fact that you keep pointing out the reality of the conflict and that things are going to get worse if we keep going down and doing the same thing that has brought us here in the first place, then somehow you're the one causing it to happen. It's like pointing out that the sun is coming up, and as the sun gets higher in the sky, it's getting warmer. Well, the fact that it's getting warmer is your fault. It's that very same sort of silly sort of reasoning, but that's where we're at, and that's what we've got. And again, we know we're going to see more demands for shutdown. We know we're going to see more demands to clamp down on anybody pointing to these concerns and pointing to the reality. Again, 20 years ago, did we have more violence or less violence? Well, obviously we had less, and we've kept doing, and why I say we, I mean society, our governments, etc., have kept pushing and promoting the same sort of thing, bringing more and more people from these foreign nations, foreign races into these countries, and we're having more and more conflict. I mean, we look at this and you see these string of events, and their answer is always the same. We're going to do more of it. Well, okay, this happened. This is horrible. Let's bring more of them in. Let's bring more multiculturalism. Let's cram it down everybody's throats. And if we just keep doing this, then suddenly we're going to start getting a different result. Well, of course, we're not going to get a different result. We're going to get more conflict. And people such as you, Sven, and myself, we point these things out in an effort like we should be able to avoid this if we can point to these things and say, hey, wait a minute. You know, hitting yourself in the head with this board is giving you a bloody forehead. Maybe you should consider a different tactic here. And of course, we're told to shut up, to shut down. People are told they can't say these things, and that the answer instead is to keep doubling down. In fact, we should stop hitting ourselves in the head with a board. We should start banging our heads against a brick wall. That will make things better. And of course, if things aren't going to get better, things are going to continue to get worse.
That's the only way that it can go. I mean, as you point out there, the only result of diversity is conflict and increasing conflict until one side obliterates the other. You can't have different peoples living within one territory without one people taking over and absorbing the other people. That's what we see happening throughout history. Now, it's interesting there that you brought up Charlottesville and the fact that it was a response to an attack from the left. Now, there is an Australian senator, Fraser Anning, and I believe this is an accurate statement that he has actually put out. He's put out a statement, and he's pointed out that this was a reaction to all the Islamic terror attacks that have taken place on European soil. And he's pointed out that nobody has done anything about these terror attacks. The only thing that's been done about it is to clamp down on the far right speaking about it and pointing it out. And if the governments don't do anything about it, general members of society will take it into their own hands to try and do something about it. We've had this mentally challenged person from Wales that got in a van and drove to a mosque and ran some people over. Darren Osborne, we had that over here in Britain. And now you've got this guy over here in New Zealand that's carrying out the same. This is a reaction to the Islamic terrorist attacks against us, and where the government have done nothing about it. They haven't deported these people. In actual fact, they've doubled down, as you said, and they've said, oh, Islam is peaceful, diversity is a strength. And of course, you are going to get people that are just going to snap and say, well, if the government aren't going to do anything about it, I'm going to do something about it. And they're going to act on their own. Now, this guy wasn't a part of any nationalist organization. He wasn't being watched by the police. He was just somebody that snapped. And it was exactly the same with Darren Osborne. He wasn't part of any nationalist organization. He wasn't being watched by the police. And yet he's now put across as a far-right terrorist. I don't really believe he was a far-right terrorist. I believe in his case it was revenge. In this case, this Australian guy has said, well, yes, this is an act of terror. And he's said that he's an eco-fascist. But another point that people haven't really been concentrating on is that before he became a nationalist, he was an anarchist and a communist. And both anarchism and communism see terrorism as a legitimate means of achieving what they wish for. So I would suggest that maybe part of his ideology, part of the reason for him carrying out this terrorist attack, is because of his links to anarchism and communism before he came across nationalism. Because this is the leftist way, is to violently attack people. The right-wing way, which we can see with National Socialism, that they came to power through the ballot box. They didn't come to power through a violent revolution. Violent revolution is the leftist way of doing things, as we see with the French Revolution, with the Bolshevik Revolution, and these sort of attacks, I would suggest, it's the leftist way of doing things. I mean, we know that we are in the right. We know that we are speaking the truth, which is why they try to silence what we're saying, because they know that what we are saying is eminently sensible. And if you end up with nobody speaking this at all, people are still going to notice the fact that we are being replaced. They're still going to notice that nothing is being done about Islamic attacks. Nothing is being done about the grooming gangs. Another thing which he mentioned in his manifesto, he listed all the cities that had these grooming gangs in. People are going to notice that nobody is saying anything about it. And they're going to think they must be going mad. No, nobody is saying anything about this. And again, they're just going to take it into their own hands to do these price tag attacks. I mean, that's what this is. It's the price of diversity, is that you are going to get attacks like this. You're going to get attacks from the diversity itself against white people, and you're going to get attacks from white people in retaliation for these attacks. He's been quite open about it in his manifesto. It was that little girl. I think we've all seen the pictures of her wrapped up in a foil blanket, who was run over by the truck in Sweden. And this little girl, she was deaf, and there was no pictures of her put out by the mainstream media in the same way that they put out pictures of Turkish boy, the boy on the beach, young Cody, whose father put him on a boat because he wanted to come across to Europe to get his teeth done for free. We were shown all those pictures and told we should be feeling sorry for her, for this little boy, and how terrible it was. There were no pictures of this little Swedish girl that were put out by the mainstream media. In actual fact, people were prosecuted almost. I think there were some people prosecuted for sharing pictures of this little girl. And it's because of that. It's because of the clampdown on it all. That's what drove this guy to doing this. And he said he also went over to France, and he went around little French villages, and there were more non-whites than there were French. I mean, this is a genuine fear that people have of our race going extinct, and it needs to be addressed. If you want to avoid any more bloodshed like this, it has to be addressed. And we are just lone voices here talking about this on the internet. If they get rid of that, I think we're just going to see more and more attacks like these, Grandpa. I really do.
Oh, yeah. Of course you will. Because, again, I mean, when people feel as though they don't have a way within the system to be represented, to have their views spoken in public, to have somebody stand up and say these things, to have a way to redress their address their grievances, or have any sort of public platform, or any sort of anybody in government to echo their concerns so that they feel like they have a chance within the system to be heard and to have their concerns addressed, then what other options do you leave somebody like that? You leave them, and they're going to feel as though, as you pointed out, you know, doing these things, taking things in their own hands is the only option that you've got. And as you pointed out, and I thought I'd bring this up, you know, we get people such as us, nationalists such as us, extreme right-wing scary people such as us. Yeah, it amazes me when you get down to what we actually say. We are, as you've said, like the voice of reason. We're trying to bring this out and say, look. We're actually trying to prevent violence. We really are. We always go out of our way to say we don't advocate violence, but it really goes beyond that. We're trying to prevent violence by pointing out these realities and saying, hey, you know, we should really be able to have a public discussion about this and come to some sort of logical plan here as to avoid violence. But again, we get shut down. We're not allowed to speak of these things. And as you were saying, it is. It's inevitable that you're going to have more of this, not less. I was on Gab the other day, and one of the things I've noticed is, you know, of course, here, again, we're always accused of being these evil right-wing Nazi haters that, you know, want to do all these evil things. But you just look at the vast amount of normal conservative types who sit and post over and over things like Islam needs to be eradicated from the face of the earth and things such as this. And it's like, yeah, no, I don't think the idea of genociding billions of people off the planet's a really good idea, you know. But yet this is allowed, you know, this is not allowed. This is somehow considered acceptable in certain circles, and what's considered normal circles where we're considered fringe, where us pointing these things out, and I pointed this out, and of course I had just like a record number of people miss the point here, but I'm getting used to that. But you know, I had somebody said, well, then what do you propose? And I'm like, well, I don't know. Let's see. We could start with not bringing them all here. Let's follow that up with the ones that are here, sending them back to their own countries. And then we could top that off with, once they're back in their own countries, let's leave them the hell alone and quit trying to bring them a democracy and my values at the end of a gun. But yet somehow people such as us are always painted with the brush of violence, with the brush of, oh, they, you know, of advocating violence, of promoting violence. And again, we'll get somehow they will try to lump us in with this guy going out and doing all this. And again, when the reality is just the opposite. And I'm going to segue kind of into something else here just to point out again how a lot of this is just it's like when they go on about Black Lives Matter. You know, if a cop shoots one black person, you know, but yet nobody cares how many blacks get killed in Chicago in a month. And it's always this ridiculous number. You know, I saw as I was looking at some of the news coverage this morning right before coming on air, and this all kind of came down last minute. So we throw everything together and get ready to do this show. But I saw that Israel is launching some new strikes into the Gaza Strip. Now, how serious they get with this, we know the track record of Israel attacking the Palestinians. You know, if they do one of their full-on attacks, dropping white phosphorus on these people, I can guarantee you there's going to be more than 49 Muslims killed in horrific ways, children having white phosphorus and just being burned alive and things such as this. But yet that's like a back burner story. Everything's going to be centered on this guy in New Zealand. Yet, you know, Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, and I'm not sitting here trying to portray myself as some Palestinian lover or something, but seriously, these people are in their own homes, in their own little sliver of a country, as such as it is, are going to be getting at the very real possibility, again, going back to the historical track record, if Israel decides to make this one of their big attacks, there's going to be way more than 49 Muslims killed in the coming few days if Israel decides to get serious about launching attacks into the Gaza Strip. And there'll be nary a whisper about it. There is not going to get the news coverage. I can assure you that that will not get the news coverage. Well, what do those people's lives matter less than these people's lives who were killed in New Zealand? You know, if 150 Palestinians that are living in their own homes in their own little country or in a hospital in the Gaza Strip get killed by Israel, that those Muslims' lives, do they not matter as much as these Muslims in their mosques in New Zealand? It's all so much, you can see the agenda constantly being driven. It's not about, oh, well, it's so sad that these Muslims got killed, because again, if Israel winds up killing 150 or 200 more in the Gaza Strip in the coming days, we'll be lucky to hear a blurb about it on the news. And what, those people's lives matter less? Well, no, because those people's lives don't fit into the political agenda that is being pushed, which is, again, to shut down people who are trying to defend their own country, shut down people who are trying to speak to these truths, shut down people who are trying to, who are bringing up legitimate points that you're threatening the existence of a nation by bringing in foreigners. It's just a reality. And he'll sit here and they keep bringing this up over and over again like it's some sort of evil conspiracy theory. It's some sort of promotion of the hatred. But it's not. It's a real truth that when you have this happen, historically, when you have this happen, when you bring in a large group of people of foreign nationality into a country, it's historically called an invasion. And yet when somebody brings this up, it's, oh, you're promoting violence. Oh, you're promoting somebody going out and doing shit. Well, no, you're pointing out that these things always wind up bringing more violence about, not less. And it's like you're sounding the alarm bells and they want to shoot the messenger. They want to shoot the guy that's sounding the alarm that, hey, you know, bad thing, more bad things are coming if somebody doesn't speak up to these things. And it's like you're the one being shut down. You're the one being attacked as, you know, for being the bearer of bad news. But it doesn't change the fact. It doesn't change the truth. And it doesn't change the reality of what's happening.
It does have to be put in perspective. And that is a good perspective to a good analogy to draw there. I think is Israel defending itself, because that's how Israel sees it. Israel sees it as that it's defending itself against the Palestinians. You know, if they take just one Israeli life, that's it. They want to take 1,000 Palestinians. If Palestinians fire a rocket in there, a firework, then they dump a load of white phosphorus on them. And you can draw that analogy to what's happened here. We are being replaced. We do have a genuine fear of our race going extinct within 30 years. We're going to be a minority in our own countries. And this one individual has taken it upon himself to take some revenge for this, to try and put a stop to this. And we're saying, well, no, that's not the way to put a stop to it. But his fears are genuine fears. I mean, if you look at where this actually happened, people are saying, well, why has this happened in New Zealand? There hasn't been any terrorism in New Zealand. But New Zealand is, it's the furthest reaches that there are of the European world. And that's why he chose this place, to say, look, this is happening everywhere. This is happening in every European country. Every European nation is being swamped by these invaders. Look at where this happened. It's a place called Christchurch. There are two mosques in Christchurch, and the place is filled with non-whites. There is no way that we can get away from it. The Jews, they can go to Israel. They can go to Israel. They've got their Jewish homeland there. I'm quite happy for them to have a Jewish homeland. I think all peoples should have their own homeland, and they defend it. What do we do in our European nations to defend ourselves against Islamic terrorism and against replacement level migration? Well, we do nothing about it. We try to silence people that speak up about it. We tell our people that Islam is a religion of peace. Every time our people get blown up, we tell them that the grooming gangs have got nothing to do with Islam. The white girls being raped by Muslims in every one of the European countries, that's got nothing to do with Islam. If our establishment continues to lie to our people and pretend that what they see happening in front of their very eyes is not actually happening, it's just going to encourage more of this. That's all I can see happening is more of this until we actually have some representation that speaks the truth about it. And Australia does have this Fraser Anning, this Senator Anning, but we need more Senator Annings. We need them in every European nation, and we need the press to be speaking up about this and not saying, oh, it's just a conspiracy theory, because they're the ones that have caused this. It's because we have no nationalist representation, because we have no mainstream nationalist journalists speaking up for us. It's because our fears are not addressed by the establishment that people are going to take it into their own hands and do stupid things like this. And obviously, we condemn all violence in the name of nationalism, and we go further than that. We try to prevent violence in the name of nationalism too, here at Radio Aryan. Grandpa, thank you very much for coming on today. I think that's been a great conversation that our listeners will enjoy. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless, and hail victory.
Radio Aryan. Radio. Dot, 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 dot.